Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
Cool. All right, folks. Welcome back to Applebee's, or Meet Me at Applebee's, whatever you want to call this show. You're number one. Already for, yeah, we're cosplaying going to Applebee's every week in the show. Yeah. But anyways, we're America's number one unrefined motorsports podcast. Yeah. I am Brian, once again here with Rob and Ashley. Folks, how we all doing this week?
Doing pretty good. I like the name change of the show. We cut out the part that won't get us a cease and desist, just at Applebee's. I think that's a good way for us to go forward. How you doing, True Love? Are you alive after all the gambling you did?
I survived Vegas, but barely. You can hear my voice. It's been a rough few days.
Did you get a total step count on trotting around Vegas?
Well, according to my cousin, who I was with the entire time, her Apple Watch said we walked like 30 miles in 4 days. And of course, I had all my snakeskin cowboy boots.
There's gotta be somebody out there that's making like a boot style sneaker or something.
Ariat,
like,
just dude. Looks,
who? What?
I don't know how to say the name of the brand. Ariat.
It sounded like you said Ariat. I'm like, bud, that's not where we want to go with this conversation.
Ariat boots, brother. No, Ariat, they make a lot of like Kid Rock ass looking boots. You know, lots of weird stitching and bullshit. But I've got a pair of them that are just black and nice and clean. And they feel like you're wearing like a pair of Vans or something, but they're not cool like what True Love suffers for. They're just shit kickers.
I'm just going to rent like a motorized Rascal scooter next time. So.
I will say the one thing about where you're at with your footwear choices is once you go to just wearing comfortable shoes all the time, that's when it's when you start to feel really old. Because, you know, I used to wear skate shoes all the time because that's what... part of my fashion, I guess, but those things are not good for just walking around, especially at races or like flea markets and stuff. You can't wear those all day. And the boots thing is like, ugh, I don't know how you fucking do it. I mean, I've seen you do it, but I don't know how.
Yeah. I just don't know any other way.
In defense of,
not ready to cave yet.
Yeah, in defense of boots, though, once you really break a pair in after a few years and it's just been you wearing them and it forms to your feet.
Yeah.
It is nice, but yeah, having that little heel on there, fuck, God, that's terrible.
Well, aside from, you know, walking all over every inch of Vegas, there was some racing going on last weekend that Ashley did check out a little bit of, but I don't think you said you weren't there Friday, were you?
I wasn't there Friday or Saturday, so
okay,
I didn't even watch either one of those races. So I didn't watch the truck race either. I can contribute other stories, but not. I didn't watch those races. No.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. I had stuff going on too Friday night, so I missed the very beginning of it. But you know, it was another solid truck race. It was a solid Vegas race. Nothing really too crazy or out of the ordinary happened, but I mean, it was really cool to see Raja get his first win after, you know, yeah, even though he finished well at Daytona, that was a rough look for him, but did great last week.
Earned and it back, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's he earned that sponsorship with Hendrick through the full season, and that's clearly going to pay off because I can't imagine this will be his only win of the season. I mean, Spire is already off to the races with their trucks program this year.
Is that a Hendrick crew on his car too, or is that at Spire guys? I have no idea.
It's definitely a cup team,
I would assume.
I don't know. I don't know enough about what's going on over there. I mean, obviously that's all old Kyle Busch stuff that they have there, but I don't know what's going on with
Shout out to that pit crew. The one thing I do know about that race is that they definitely set him up for success, and they pitched him, and Roger knocked it out of the park. So congrats to him.
Yep.
Definitely cool to see that dude on top of his car yelling and screaming and shit. He seems like a cool dude. I know he's got kind of a reputation for being a little rough on the track, but he seems like a nice guy. So
he's still a kid. He's still got a lot of learning.
He's in high school. I didn't fucking know that.
What?
Isn't he 18 or some shit like that?
No, he's I think he's in college. He's like 20 or 21. Oh, he can't be in high school.
I thought he was like 18. Someone was talking about him like missing class or some shit. I was like, what the fuck?
But yeah. He talked about that in the post-race interview the press conference afterwards. See, but yeah, I didn't go to
college, so I don't know what that is. So I just forget. Life ends at 18 and you move into being an adult. So.
Yeah. I guess the unfortunate part of Raja's win is hopefully something that'll end sooner than later, but the comments on some of those tweets and posts and stuff are obviously not what you want to see. Not just necessarily saying bad things about Raja because of the color of his skin, but people just bringing up Bubba and the fact that there's still so many NASCAR fans out there that don't understand that, like, yeah, it is still a big deal that he's only the third black guy to win a race in NASCAR. And this is something that I said on some Facebook post or something, but
Brian's going to war out there in the comment section.
So it would be nice. It would be nice to not have to bring this stuff up. Yeah. You know, again, everybody races. Everybody wants to win, you know, color, race or color, sex, whatever. But the thing is, when your first black driver wins his race and gets it taken away, and that was only 60 years ago, it took 50 more years for another guy to win a race. That's why it's still got to be talked about, and it's going to be a while. And again, hopefully the sport continues to grow and change, and continue to diversify the sport, because it's a good thing. You want everybody to be involved, and Roger, it still sucks.
Roger kind of alluded to this in his interview, because he got asked the question. I think it was Matt Weaver who asked him how he felt about that, and he kind of seemed to he said it was cool, but he definitely wants to be remembered as just being Roger Karuf, the race car driver. And I think that, you know, him winning this race is certainly a step in that direction where we don't have to talk about this anymore. You know?
I mean, I would hope Bubba, anyway. Bubba admittedly, I mean, he did kind of take up that mantle when he made his way to the Cup Series. So
he did. How cool is that video of Bubba watching him win the race, though? That was neat.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, again, it's all good moments for the sport, and I hope it only continues. And yeah, this kid, I'd be shocked at this point if he's not contending in the top five of the points at the end of the year, but we'll see what happens. It's obviously still too early for that, but he's gonna win again.
He's got the setup underneath him, so as long as he can keep it going in the right direction and not hit the fence too often and not piss people off too much, he's got a great shot. So
for sure.
And the best way to stay ahead in the points in the trucks is to stay out of the midfield.
Seriously,
stay away from those motherfuckers, Jesus.
Yeah, I think if he does that, he'll do okay, but. In saying that, the rest of the weekend's races, while not necessarily bad races, produced pretty standard results. John Hunter Nemechek got a win. Not really a surprise there.
You almost forget that he's a Cup driver now. He's just in all these fucking Busch races now. It's hilarious. Like,
well, all the Cup guys that do the trucks and the Xfinity races, they kind of front load them now because you can't race during the playoffs,
right,
and with Xfinity, if you're a Cup guy, you can't race in the Dash for Cash races, whatever they call that.
Yeah, right, right.
Prize deal. So they tend to all do this shit right at the beginning of the season. But I mean, it was a fine race. Again, nothing really crazy happened. Nothing I can think of off the top of my head. But
no, True Love. When did you get to Vegas? You got there on Friday night, right?
Friday. Yeah. So I'm super bummed that I missed Roger win his first race. But Friday we went down to Fremont Street, walked up and down for a while, and then went to the Neon Museum. And then
you did.
We were so exhausted, we just went home. Went to the hotel.
I've never been to that place, but I hear it's really cool. Our steel player in These Wild Plains, Tyler, he was a tour guide there for many moons.
Oh, what? No shit.
He was always telling me, like, yeah, that's the place you want to go when you're in Vegas to see some of the old shit still alive.
Yeah, it was cool, but by the time we got there, we were just so fucking tired, and it was like the last thing we did, so I couldn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to because I was just exhausted. So.
Yeah,
but it was very cool. That I would recommend.
Did you walk to Vegas from Georgia or what?
Well, I had to get up at like 2 in the morning that morning to go catch our flight.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So before we get to Sunday, though, you did run into a bunch of people on the strip and whatnot. So let's talk about that. I mean, what you can remember at least.
NASCAR after dark.
Well, I remember most of it. So Saturday, was going to be like a cousin's day. So it was just me and my cousin Destiny and my brother Cody doing our thing. So we were just going to start on one end of the strip and just work our way all the way down.
As you do.
But yeah, at the very beginning, when we were still in our hotel, we were getting coffee. And Destiny went to the bar and got a mimosa, I think. And there was this little old man sitting next to her, and he saw my Richard Petty jacket, and he asked me if I was going to the race tomorrow, and I said, yeah. So we kind of got into a conversation. I noticed he was wearing a Chili Bowl shirt.
Nice.
And I asked him if he was going, and he said he wasn't because he's like 80 or 81. He couldn't remember.
Yeah. It doesn't matter at that point, I guess.
But he could get to the casino, but he's from Southern California, so he was a Larson fan, and you know, he had the Chili Bowl shirt on, and we talked about like all the old racetracks in California that are gone now. It was just a very wholesome interaction to start the day off with this.
He didn't know the Grangers, did he?
Elderly man.
Rowdy and Dwayne and all them?
No, I didn't ask.
Okay,
but
yeah,
this was separate from them. So yeah, Saturday, the wind in Las Vegas was so insane. Like it was like 60 mile per hour wind. So
that's
like
spring
walking
out west,
down the
man.
Street, yeah, it was fucking terrifying. Like I kept waiting to get decapitated by a stop sign or something.
Yeah, you got sand in your teeth and your eyes and every which place it can go. Yeah, it's brutal out there.
Yeah. Because we started off at Westgate because there's a bunch of Elvis history there. And Destiny's a big Elvis fan. And, like, part of their sign had blown down and was, like, all over the road. Yeah. And then we walked over to Circus because I wanted to give them a taste of sketchy Vegas.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I don't know if y'all have been to Circus, but...
No, I have not.
Yeah.
You know, I've never actually I've been to Las Vegas once or twice, but I've never done any of the Vegas stuff. I've never gambled, I've never gone to the strip, I've never seen any of the museums, shows, nothing. I know nothing of that side of Vegas, even though it was always a short flight from Albuquerque. We just never ended up going, so I know what to do there, but I've just never done it.
I spent a couple years going there in September for this bicycle trade show when I was working in that industry.
What,
and it used to be called Interbike. It's not around anymore, but it was a big trade show. And I saw a fair amount of Vegas, and I've been to Circus, and I didn't get to see enough of old Vegas the couple times I went. I went one time, but at that point then I was already too shit faced. But I'm not really a gambling guy. There is probably some stuff I'd like to see. I'm trying to think. There was some dive bar out there that was really popular, like a punk rock dive bar that I went to a few times, but I can't remember the fucking name for the life of me right now.
There's a punk rock museum out there too.
Well, that's that just opened.
Guys, yeah.
But yeah. So Circus is like, you know, obviously it's circus themed, and but there's a lot of kids there. But it's also like, it's the poor man's hotel on the strip.
Yeah.
But we were walking through, and I did notice there was a gift shop inside of that casino that was selling a bunch of, like, you know, the typical bullshit T-shirts and whatever, but in the display window they were selling Kyle Busch M&M jackets, and there was like a Pokemon sitting on his shoulder in the display, and they were also selling brand new like Keselowski King's Hawaiian jackets, and he had a T-shirt hanging off his arm that said "Born to Love Meemaw."
Oh,
so nice. Wholesome gift shop display.
Did you pick that up?
I stood there for a second and thought about it. but yeah, so after that, we went down to the Venetian and walked around. That was kind of bullshit, like touristy, whatever. But that's when we like started, you know, those cups that they walk around with, they're like really plastic, really tall, long, full of frozen alcohol. Yeah, so that's how we got things started.
Yeah,
just picking
as
up
you
a couple
do
of those. Yeah. So at that point, so Rowdy, who Rob met at the Chili Bowl and who I met last year at North Wilkesboro, they were in town from California for the whole race weekend. So after they got back from the Xfinity race, we walked down to their place and met up with Rowdy, his dad, Dwayne, and their buddy, Smitty, and his wife. And Smitty was an older gentleman who was blackout drunk. And just like in this loop of repeating himself, and every like 5 seconds he would show me his hat that he got signed by drivers that day, and then he would black out and then repeat the whole thing. It was a lot. But it was good to see Dwayne. His dad is
Dwayne's awesome. That family, I think we mentioned this on the show during the Chili Bowl, but they used to do like Baja 1000 truck racing and all that. So a lot of cool stories out of them. Yeah, that's awesome. You got to see them.
Yeah, so Rowdy came out with us on the strip, and we walked down to Caesar's Palace to meet up with my buddy Eric from Canada that I met last week at Atlanta, and his girlfriend Vic. So at that point, we're all just a ragtag group, just walking around drunk through Caesar's Palace, which is one of the nicest places on the strip. And we get behind this big group of, I guess, kind of younger looking dudes, but they all had on like a bunch of vintage NASCAR stuff. There was a dude with like a black denim Alan Kulwicki jacket on. And then there was like another guy with like an Earnhardt like satin jacket on. We're like, what the fuck? So we kind of start talking to them a little bit. And I look over to my left in that group and I see someone who, his name's Matt, and we have followed each other on Instagram forever, but his sister lives, they're from Georgia originally, but he lives out in LA now. But his sister and I used to date the same guy like 10, 15 years ago separately.
But I was going to say.
She dated him first, and then I dated him after that. And then, but that was the most random fucking thing to be so far away from home, just walking through a casino, and to see someone who is like from Georgia. It blew my fucking mind.
That's awesome.
And all because they were just wearing like NASCAR shit. But they were there on like a bachelor party.
Nice.
Yeah. So we hung out with them for a little bit and then went our separate ways. My brother Cody had to go. We had to send him home at that point because he was too drunk.
He was showing his hat to people.
Yeah, he was. But me and Destiny, Rowdy, and Eric and Vic went to the Cosmopolitan because I know that a bunch of drivers stay there. So if you ever go to the Vegas race, a bunch of drivers stay at South Point next to the racetrack. And then a bunch of them stay at the Cosmopolitan. So,
nice.
If you want to see some drivers, that's where you go. And as soon as I walk in, Eric goes, oh, there's Reddick sitting at the roulette table. And it took me a minute to find him because I was drunk and he's a very
short,
tiny man.
Yeah.
But he was just sitting there by himself playing roulette. And of course, our drunk asses went up and started bothering him.
How'd that go?
It was fine. He was super nice about it. Like, he took pictures with all of us and all that. And then I turn, and Freddie Kraft, who's Bubba Spotter, was there, who I've partied with before at Saeed in Charlotte before the 600 last year. And he was wasted. That man is always wasted. I think I sent y'all pictures. You could tell in his eyes how wasted he was. And then I turn, and there's our boy BJ McLeod just standing there. So
this is all within like the same like 2-3 minutes. Yes. That's fucking amazing. Yes. So you're not kidding, that is the NASCAR zoo.
It is, yeah. So we went up to him and started talking for a while, and I was very drunk, so I was telling him all about the McLeod crowd and Get Loud for McLeod and all. But he said he remembered me because we had met a couple times, and so that was cool. And then I turn and there's Jeb Burton too So I was like, I don't really like this guy, but I'm going to take a picture with him
too. As good as I gave you shit for that. I was like, who dared you to fucking take a photo of him?
Well, I was drunk, so I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll just take pictures with everyone. But it's also the bar, like the video of Bubba watching Raja win. It was at the hotel, so.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Just a full day of getting drunk and running into lots of random people at the Cosmopolitan.
That's awesome. Mm,
but how was the morning of the race then?
It was fine because I think we were in bed by like midnight probably.
Oh,
that's not too bad.
I chugged a couple liquid IVs.
That's right.
Got some Motrin in me, and me and Destiny drunkenly devoured a giant cheeseburger and fries before bed. So we set ourselves up for success.
That is the way right there.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So tell us about the rest of your experience, because none of us have been in this track before, and I know it was your first time too.
Well, I will never complain about East Coast having late start times ever again, because going to my first West Coast race and having to be there at like 9 a.m. was not fun.
Why did you have to get there so early? It didn't start till 1 o'clock that time.
It started at 12:30. But still, like, you have to get out to the track. I had to take an Uber out to the track. Mm. We had bought garage passes, so we wanted to be able to take advantage of those.
Right, right.
Yeah. So.
Well, this happens at every single race. Same thing on the East Coast if you're going to get this. So what are you bitching about?
It was just so early, like having to be at the racetrack at 9 a.m.
See, I like the early start times. I've only experienced it because of delays. Like at Loudon this past year, they ran the race at noon out here. And that was fucking awesome to just roll out of bed and, you know, slime my way on over to the stands. And granted, yeah, I've been there all weekend, so I didn't have the urgency to get to the track as early as possible after a night of drinking, because there's no way I would have been able to do all that shit.
Right.
But yeah, I don't mind a nice early start time. It's old school, you know.
I like when I have Darlington passes. Like Saturday's great because I get there right when cup practice starts and you're there the whole fucking day and you can see everything and everybody's there and not rushing around as much as they are on Sundays. It's okay. So you're there early in the garage.
So fucking early, and it's windy again. It's so fucking windy. And so at first we just kind of walked around the merch haulers. Destiny decided that she's a Chastain fan. So
good choice.
So she went and bought a $200 Busch Light jacket.
Fuck yeah, she did.
And he was signing autographs, but you had to get there early to get a wristband. The wristbands were gone. And she was like, there's no fucking way I just bought this $200 jacket and he's not going to sign it. So she just, when the lady wasn't looking, she just like cut in the front of the line and got him to sign it. So, yeah.
That midnight cheeseburger confidence. I love that.
Yeah. There was also a lady behind her in line who had like her expensive Ross Chastain diecast in her hand ready for him to sign, and she dropped it straight on the asphalt. Upside down, like you could just hear like crunch.
That's why those kids wrap them in bubble wrap, I guess.
Yeah.
Really?
You can learn a thing or two from the Darves once in a while.
Yeah. So then we went, after that, that's when we went into the garage. So if you ever go to Las Vegas, do the Neon Garage Pass. It was
cool.
$60, but it is hands down the most bang for your buck you can get with like any type of like garage pass.
Now, is this the garage area where you're like kind of above everybody, or am I mixing that up with something else?
Yeah. So with the Neon Garage Pass, the only downside was to get to it, you have to walk in the underground tunnel. It's the longest underground tunnel I have ever been in, full of lots of too many people. But it's a very long walk underground. So if you're not afraid of tunnels, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they have all the garages with like huge glass windows so you can see like right up close. And then they have the little windows too, where you can get like driver autographs. And then you can go upstairs, and they also have glass windows up there where you can look down from above into the garages. And then they also have a railing on the other side that looks out over all the haulers. So it's essentially the closest you can get to being like having a hot pass and being in the garage without actually being in the garage. And they also have like pit road access, which you don't go on the actual pit road, but it is, you can walk down the entirety of the back of pit road and see, you know, right there. It's like the closest, again, the closest you can be without, you know,
without a hot pass. Yeah,
without a hot pass. Like access, I was surprised by how much access they had.
That's super cool.
And then in
60
the middle,
bucks ain't that bad either.
No, not for, because I mean normally just like a track pass, just to walk out there and sign the fucking start finish line and see whatever bullshit band's playing, it's like $75 at most tracks.
Right. Yeah. Was there a bullshit band? Did you get to see anybody cool?
There was, but they were playing out on the track, so I didn't have to suffer through them.
Nice.
Some band called Maddie and Tay. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I never heard of them.
Girl in a country song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very good. Yeah. Glad you missed that.
Yeah, me too. But out in the middle of the neon garage, they have this huge white tent full of chairs, and that's where they do the driver's meeting. So you can stand there and watch the driver's meeting, and it's the only track on the entire circuit that has like an open driver's meeting to fans. So that was my first time seeing one of those too, so that was interesting. Saw John Force. He was there hanging out at the driver's meeting.
Hell yeah,
that's cool.
Did he talk at all?
No, I think he
invited
did.
Or not invited.
I think he had did an appearance out in the fan zone earlier, but we were already in the garage. But he definitely got the biggest cheer when he was introduced at the driver's meeting.
That's killer.
Yeah, and then they introduce like all the celebrities that they invite to do like the command and the pace car, but it was just a bunch of like football players I'd never heard of.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you get introduced from your Fox?
I should have, damn it.
From your Fox exposure? Ashley Truelove!
Yeah, so if you go to Vegas, get the Neon Garage Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after that, we just went out to our seats. I mean, we decided just to get the cheapest seats because you can see the whole track from anywhere there. So
right,
the only downside to getting the cheap seats was where we were sitting, there wasn't a replay screen and we couldn't hear the announcer, so we were basically just sitting there blind.
So that's why you were texting us asking why there was a red flag on the track, because we didn't even know for a second. But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. All of a sudden all the cars were parked on the back stretch and we were like okay,
they're going to bring Tim Duggar out for a mid-stage concert.
Yeah, because where Chris Buescher had hit the wall, it was on the complete opposite side of where we were sitting. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, as a guy who likes to drink beers at the racetrack, I know they don't allow you to bring your own alcohol into the track. Do they allow you to bring anything in? Or is that...
You're not supposed to. I feel like I read that you can't bring any type of cooler in, but we did meet up with Rowdy and Dwayne and Smitty for a minute in the neon garage area, and Smitty had brought a cooler full of like waters and stuff, and then they had a false bottom in their cooler, and then they had snuck in some Coors Lights, I think.
Perfect. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And my next question of course is how much are the beers there? Is it an expensive concession experience or is it a little more reasonable?
Like I bought a Budweiser. I feel like it's probably like $12, but it was one of those like huge, massive cans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Box standard. Not bad for Vegas. Average. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheaper than Formula One.
Yeah. And one thing I did like about this track, so most tracks you go to, they have, you know, concession stands, but it's always like the same bullshit track food at all of them, and the lines are insane.
Yeah.
But at this one, they had a little area inside where they allowed a bunch of local food trucks to come in. So there was a ton more options.
That's
and
cool.
So the lines weren't that bad. So, yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, the only negative part for the whole day was the fucking wind was terrible. Like, seeing that track was so cool. Like, every race I've been to has been on the East Coast. So seeing, like, a NASCAR race in the middle of the fucking desert with gigantic mountains in the background was nuts.
Was this you've been out west before. This wasn't your first time out west, period, right?
No, I've been...
I thought you'd been there before.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while, but yeah. But I've never been to a race out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the wind was nonstop all day. Like, you had to physically hold on to your hat because I saw so many hats go over the railing out into the abyss.
Well, so that explains
hold on
the,
to it the whole time.
Well, William Byron got a trash bag with a beer can stuck
bag,
in his grill.
That trash bag blowing around out there for a while. I was like, yeah, someone's about to run over that.
You got a beer can stuck in one of the inlets. So.
Yeah, it was terrible. Like, you had to, like, hold on to your food. Like, I was afraid that, like, French fries were going to start blowing into the people sitting next to us. And after a while, like, it was just, like, constant wind. Like, even wearing sunglasses, like, you were, like, squinting the whole time. And it was, like, hard to stay focused. Yeah. Like, the wind was miserable. It would have been a perfect day if it hadn't been for that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the weather.
You mean
great.
It would have been a perfect day, even with Kyle Larson dominating the race?
Perfect race day. Conditions wise.
Well, I know we got to get into the actual race.
Good
here,
conditions,
though.
If you ask me.
So yeah, it was a Vegas race. Like, you know, obviously Kyle Larson wasn't really a shock to see him win. I mean, Hendrick was their third or fourth straight win in Vegas. So.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see some Toyota action, and Reddick was the only one that was really consistently up front, and he made a great run at the very end. But unfortunately, you know, I don't know if it's the aero of the cars or what, but he just couldn't make that pass and then lost it all on the last lap. But,
it's still aero racing. So, you know, Larson had the best, you know, bite of anybody out there. He could get off, a restart quicker than anybody else, just had that little extra something and was able to work his way through. And then when he was up front, he could just pull away. And if you didn't have that, you're already kind of screwed, you know, when you get stuck in traffic. So I feel like if William Byron hadn't, you know, guzzled a Coors Light on the front stretch or wherever he picked that thing up, he might have had something to say about it. But yeah, all the Toyotas looked pretty good. I mean, Truex was up in the mix too. A lot of really vicious and furious racing happening behind all that. But yeah. And Reddick almost had him, man.
Yeah, it was close. I mean, it was for everybody that was so excited about the finish the week before. I'm sure there were some that were let down. I mean, I know for a fact my buddy Ed was one of the guys who texted me. That race was kind of boring. It was like, well,
no, it wasn't.
A, it wasn't, and B, this is kind of what actual races are like, you know, for better or for worse. So if you thought that was bad, then you don't want to see some of the other ones.
Yeah,
that, like, don't watch Richmond.
Wait,
you know?
Pocono.
Yeah. I know Pocono's okay.
Well, Pocono's
okay.
Good now.
Yeah, it is good now. Richmond, though, is going to suck. So
we don't know just yet. We're going to find out next week in Phoenix, but I guess we'll talk about that coming up here.
Yeah, later. But coming out of the race, I mean, there were a couple spicy stories or potentially brewing rivalries coming out of it. First off, the more entertaining one to me is Corey LaJoie and his own teammate. Once again, Ashley got to see Corey wreck, which was nice. I'm sure she enjoyed that. Afterwards, he got on his show and talked about how his own teammate was racing him too hard and got him into the wall. And then Corey said he got wrecked, which, again, video footage proves that he wrecked himself. So
the air wrecked him, maybe.
Yeah. So that was good. You know, I like Kosovar, and it'll be very funny to me if right off the bat, these guys have a fight or something.
Well, this is the first time that there's really been a teammate situation. No offense to Ty Dillon, but I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, He's not really the driver that Hosovar is, and they've definitely spent a shit ton of money on those cars, and they're stepping up their game in every way possible. I mean, LaJoie was fast on merit, and I mean, he would have had a top 10 no problem if he hadn't gotten loosened up into the fence. You know,
so would Hosovar,
ghost,
too.
The ghost of Carson Hosovar coming up there and just wrecking him and then sneaking back to his own car. But
I mean, and Carson was doing good, too, until he got involved in somebody else's wreck. So they both had a decent day going.
Yeah, and Zane Smith probably would have... Zane Smith, right? Yeah, he would have...
No, he immediately, like, had a flat or something, right?
Yeah, he got in the fence way early. But yeah. I bet you we would have seen him up in the top 20 as well. And that's a huge step up for that team, to go from 2 to 3 cars and have all of them be relatively quick, presumably, anyway. Yeah, we won't.
Well, they're investing enough in their program, so they better have some fucking results. Yeah. So,
yeah, it was cool to see that. Yeah, I'm not a Corey LaJoie fan, but it's definitely kind of neat to see them kind of break through that wall, kind of like Front Row is too.
Yeah.
These sort of secondary teams popping up and putting on a show and then taking it away from themselves.
Yeah. And the other rivalry now, which apparently was really brewing as of last year in Phoenix, but Ross Chastain and Ryan Blaney seem to have a little back and forth going. Yeah. Blaney apparently blocked Ross at one point, and Ross said he was proud of him for catching up and learning. So that was funny. Yeah. They had some back and forth on Twitter. So I'm all for it. You know, rivalries are a good thing, as long as they don't result in ridiculous, you know, bullshit wrecks every week, people taking each other out. But no, I mean, that's good. You want that type of stuff. So no matter which side you're on, I think it's cool.
Yes.
I will admit, at one point, I was so desperate to not see a Larson win that I was pulling for Chastain.
Yeah, that last restart, I mean, he tried, but
it was tough. It was tough out there.
Yeah.
Well, but plus for Destiny's sake, because she, you know, spent $200 on a jacket.
Yeah, you know, hopes and dreams don't always surpass excellence, and that's what we saw this Sunday. I lost my shit down here in the basement. I was very excited to see a Larson win. It's always good.
Well, and that's good for you, Rob. Yeah, I'm glad.
We're happy for you.
Well, and also, not to take away from his championship, but I do want to see him get a title where he's not benefiting from the qualifying or the lack of qualifying and getting up front every race based on the metrics.
Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, see where you're coming from.
Not to put
that
an asterisk next to what he did a couple years ago, but, you know, I want to see him win one just by having – I want to see that team do really well just on their own and not benefit from that. You know, I was part of the game during COVID or whatever, but still – definitely cool to see them go out and just be fast all weekend and, you know, bring a nice fast piece to the racetrack and earn it in qualifying. So,
yeah. But regardless, go ahead.
What was Bubba's issue? Was it a lug nut issue? Or
yeah, his lug nut got jammed on the car and they couldn't get it off. It took like 14 laps or whatever to get it off the car. But yeah, that was the deal there, unfortunately.
Well, owes Reddick owes Thanks, Bubba Denny. One of them big umbrella drinks you were talking about, one of them hand grenades for pushing his ass at the end of the race.
They were called yard dogs.
The yard dogs.
Yeah.
That should handle Reddick pretty good, you know, being as short as he is.
But he did eventually
get up and move roulette tables, so maybe he was tired of us.
Yeah. He's just trying to gamble in peace.
Yeah, I know. Bless his heart.
Yeah. But with that, now we are in the midst of the actual real, quote-unquote real, NASCAR season. Yes. So, good first weekend, and this weekend will be Phoenix, which is, again, kind of a little bit of a preview to the fall race, and everybody kind of sees where they're at, and it'll be fine. I mean, we'll talk about some Phoenix racing later on in the show, but real quick, I do want to say this one thing. F1 also started their season, and not to try to pull the F1 versus NASCAR fan bullshit again, but you know, for those who are fans, good for you guys, because the season started off with yet again another Max Verstappen win by 22 seconds. So yeah, awesome. Glad. Hope you guys are enjoying that.
Yeah, my boycott ended real fast. I was over at a friend's house on Saturday night, and I missed the Xfinity race or most of it. I watched like 10 laps on my phone and saw John Hunter was just going to pull away with it and just turn my phone off. But of course, like, this is my buddy whose kid is a big Chase Elliott fan and is into cars and racing and all that, are getting into it. And he was, you know, trying to you know, watch something with me and get his kid engaged. Like, hey, I saw that the Bahrain Grand Prix replay is on. You guys want to watch that? And instead of going into the big boomer, well, I don't watch F1 anymore. I was like, fucking sure. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in time to see Carlos Sainz get past Charles Leclerc, which was kind of nice since he's getting fired for Lewis Hamilton. So I'm looking forward to sort of watching from a distance. Hopefully Carlos dick stomps Leclerc into the pavement and I can laugh about that. But yeah, that's Formula One for me this year, if I can help it.
It seems like it's going to be another season where the off-track stuff is going to eclipse what happens on the track, because already you've got the drama with Christian Horner and that whole sexual harassment stuff going on. There was a lot more that came out about that this past weekend, and they just, like, Christian just tries to fucking bulldoze right through it. I will say, not to make another wrestling comparison, but Vince McMahon tried to do this not too long ago, and it didn't work out. So I have a feeling this might not work out for Horner either. In saying that, I also, when I didn't know he was married to Ginger Spice. I guess I just, again, I don't watch the show, so I don't fucking know these things. And I was like, well, immediately, if he's going to fucking do Ginger Spice wrong, then fuck him. Yep. But then I was told by my friend Stacy that apparently they met and started dating while he was married with kids already or something. So maybe they're both awful people.
This came up like 12 years ago already. It's the same thing. And there's some kind of dubious timing. We're talking about Formula One now. It's hilarious. The head of Formula One, Mohammed bin Salib, I forget what his name is. He runs the show.
Yep.
He is in huge trouble right now for trying to manipulate the results of the Vegas race last year. To get a penalty rescinded for Fernando Alonso, and then to not certify the results of the race because the company he helps run, which is the Saudi national oil company Aramco, was a sponsor of Aston Martin. So it's a lot of ugly shit going on outside of the racing there. So at least I'll have something to talk about on Drive to Survive this year, especially since Red Bull's not involved in that shit. But yeah.
The tiny little positive thing I'll say for, again, those who are actually interested in watching this shit, the Vegas race, just the F1 Vegas race, they just announced there's going to be a bunch of cheaper general admission seats now for like 150 and 300 for practice and the race. So still $300 will get you probably the best seat at just about every NASCAR race except for the 500. So.
Yeah. I mean, you can get in the fucking 44 at a NASCAR race for $300. You can drive that car. You can be on the pit crew. You can get thrown out because they don't have a car chief. So,
from our hotel in Vegas, we looking out the window out the back, we could see the F1 garage that they built there, and that thing is fucking massive.
It's crazy, right?
So nice. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, it was huge.
One more thing about Formula One that I did notice, whatever the Toro Rosso AlphaTauri team is called now, like Visa fucking, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Very pretty car. Very beautiful looking race car. So they really knocked that out of the park. It looks kind of like Larson's, actually. I mean, that's why I like it. That pretty red, white, and blue scheme. So good for them. Mm-hmm. Nice designers over there. These cars are very pretty to look at, and it is a spectacle. But yeah, I don't really, unless it's forced upon me, I don't plan on tuning in and waking up at weird hours to watch it. So
no. And moving on from F1 talk, we got to bring this up. Obviously it's one of the big topics of the last week. I know we kind of guessed as to what Dale Jr. was going to be doing next year. And I did bring up the fact that I could see him going to Amazon with a shorter schedule, say if he decides to finally open a cup team. Well, that is coming true, not because of the cup team part, but yes, Dale Jr. is going over to Amazon and also TNT. He's going to be doing both those races. I don't know what the total, but I mean, it's more than just the five.
I think it's like 9 or 10 in total.
Yeah, so still a good third of the season almost, but
still not enough.
Still not enough. But this also means he won't be on TV this year, which is a huge, huge loss for NBC.
Yeah, what a bummer, man. Yeah.
And there were some theories floated out there as far as, well, they want Junior to be in the Charlotte booth, and he insists on being at the track, and they were pissed at him for looking at the actual racetrack as opposed to the monitors. He refuted all those claims. You know, he said, no, that's not the case. And I have a feeling, I haven't listened to his show yet because it wasn't out yet early this afternoon, but I'm sure he talks about this on his podcast this week. So, you know, listen to that for probably all the details. But a huge loss for this year, but next year will be good. And to me, it really shows that Amazon and TNT are really going to step up and do some good shit. So, because you don't get a guy like Junior with if you're not really going to invest in this type of stuff. No. So,
Alan Bestwick and Dale Junior, please. Thank you. That's what I'm asking.
I could see that happening. So I guess we'll see what happens. Please. But cool.
And get Marty Smith down in the pits too, for fuck's sake. Let's get him back in NASCAR. He's a little corny, but the way his enthusiasm is infectious, and I think that's what's needed. So
it's fair. I listened to him on Junior's podcast, and you know, his heart's in the right place. Although he's a bit more of a motivational speaker type, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. What were you saying, Trulove?
I didn't hear what name you said.
Oh, Alan Bestwick, please.
No.
That's my request.
Oh, you said someone else.
No, Marty Smith.
Marty Smith.
Okay.
The final coffin of the nail of the season, or whatever the fuck his great call that buried him. Marty Smith gets a bad... Not Marty Smith, sorry. Marty Reed is the guy I'm thinking of that I'm making fun of right now.
Too many Martys.
Yeah, so. Now I'm... Which one is the one who had the faux hawk forever?
That's Marty Smith, right?
Okay, yeah. There we go.
Marty Reed is the guy who fumbled a lot in the booth, and he did a great job in IndyCar, though. Or he hit the moments where he did shine, like when Dan Weldon passed and he eulogized them. That was about as good as it gets in broadcasting. But yeah, let's not get him back in the mix. Let's get Alan Bestwick, please.
And this last little bit here of general chatter, Rob's going to have to perform this a little bit because Rob was playing around. He's playing around on ChatGPT this weekend. And he sent us some prompts that he tried to get ChatGPT to perform. So, Rob, take it away.
Well, where do you guys want me to start here? Yeah. Is there a particular one you want me to read? You want all of them? What do you want here?
Well, I mean, you can just talk about Ty and Denny meeting.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
So I was playing around ChatGPT. I've never done it before. I've done some of like the AI stuff in Photoshop, the regenerative fill or predictive fill, whatever it's called. It's hilarious shit, right? And my buddy, he uses ChatGPT to spruce up some of the promotional material for his appliance repair company that he does. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see what this thing can do. Yeah, because I've never played with it before. Some people try to make it cuss before, and that's very fun to me. So I started typing some things in. I tried to get it to admit that Dale Earnhardt and Michael Waltrip had a little relationship together. It wouldn't do that, but it would kind of allude in the right way, so that was nice. But my favorite one that I got out of ChatGPT here, and I think this is pretty box standard for any interaction with this website. You ask it questions, you make requests of it, and it'll respond with what it thinks is best. And if it doesn't like what you have to say, you go back and forth. So anyway, I gave it a prompt to give me a short story, and this is the prompt I gave it. NASCAR driver Ty Gibbs has a secret. He has a small tail. It is hairless and mostly not obstructive, but it's there, and he's ashamed of what Denny Hamlin will think of it when he happens to notice it in the communal shower at Airspeed, which is the new 2311 shop, which is not open yet. And they're showering at Airspeed because the JGR showers are currently closed for repairs. Please elaborate. ChatGPT response says, I'm sorry, but I can't engage in creating inappropriate or embarrassing content about individuals, even if they are fictional characters. If you have any other requests or topics, let me know and I'll be happy to help you out. So I respond, well, what if Denny reacts positively and reveals he also has a tail, removing the shame from the scenario altogether? ChatGPT loved this. That's a more positive and inclusive approach. In this scenario, when Ty Gibbs nervously anticipates Denny Hamlin's reaction to his small tail in the communal shower at Airspeed, he's surprised and relieved when Denny reacts with understanding and acceptance. Rather than judgment or ridicule, Denny reveals that he too has a similar trait. Doesn't elaborate on what that trait is, which is hilarious to me. Effectively removing any sense of shame or embarrassment from the situation. Their shared experience fosters a sense of camaraderie and mutual respect, demonstrating that differences are nothing to be ashamed of, but rather embraced as a part of what makes each individual unique. So, I like that.
Ashley, I feel like you should read the next one.
I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but did you send these? while I was in Vegas?
I might have. You might not have seen them.
Okay. So I didn't see them until like right before the show, and I was like, what?
Here's one more for you. Please, I asked ChatGPT to please give me a short AP style blurb. That's, of course, Alternative Press, the Associated Press. A short AP style blurb about Meemaw's shopping cart full of diecasts tipping over at the Chase Elliott meet and greet at the Dawsonville Hooters. And immediately gave me one of these. In Dawsonville, Georgia, chaos ensued at a Chase Elliott meet and greet event when Meemaw's shopping cart, laden with diecast collectibles, toppled over unexpectedly. The mishap occurred amidst the bustling atmosphere of a Hooters restaurant, where fans gathered eagerly to meet the NASCAR star. Despite the commotion, attendees quickly rallied to assist Meemaw in retrieving her prized diecast, exemplifying the spirit of community that permeates Elliott's hometown gatherings. That's actually pretty accurate, is
it
not?
That's so accurate. Yeah. Oh, good.
I guess I'll read the Dale one in a second.
No, I want to read the Dale one because Dale one's funny. So, for those, we've talked about this here before. Some of us theorize that there might have been a little bit more going on than just a friendship between Dale and Michael Waltrip. You know, listen, for a guy that I've had a lot of best friends in life, and thankfully they're all still with me, but I don't know if I'd say some of the stuff that Mikey says about Dale to some of my best friends. Like, there's a little more something going on there to me. But anyways, we had Rob ask ChatGPT to maybe elaborate on a scenario between these two. So
I'm gonna handle this one.
The prompt was, please give me a paragraph describing Dale Earnhardt and Michael Waltrip on a nice date at a lakeside fish fry restaurant in North Carolina. They've definitely had a few cocktails and are sharing an ambitious serving of shrimp cocktail. The sun is setting. So the response there was Dale Earnhardt and Michael Waltrip, two NASCAR legends, found themselves enjoying a rare moment of relaxation at a quaint lakeside fish fry restaurant in their native North Carolina. As the sun dipped below the horizon, casting a warm glow across the tranquil waters, they sat side by side, indulging in a hearty spread of southern delicacies. With glasses of sweet tea in hand and a hint of mischief in their eyes, they shared tales of triumph and camaraderie, their laughter mingling with the gentle breeze rustling through the nearby trees. Amidst the laid-back ambience, they savored an ambitious serving of shrimp cocktail, their appetites matched only by their unwavering friendship. As the evening unfolded, they toasted to life's simple pleasures and the enduring bonds forged on and off the racetrack, grateful for moments like these that reminded them of joy found in slowing down and savoring the moment. Now, a beautiful, beautiful setting,
yeah, not bad.
But my only complaint was that you didn't play up the romantic aspect in the prompt, because
this was earlier on. I was trying to see what it would give me. And they are sitting side by side at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, even if you're a couple, that's a weird thing to do.
Don't
do
bus,
that.
Don't ride the bus. Yeah, service hate that shit. Yeah. But yeah, that's ChatGPT. I would encourage our fans, if you have any wild shit you want to type in there and send to us and give us a screenshot, please do. I'd love to see it. We'll read it on the show 100%. But just understand you're going to have to fight with it a little bit to get the good shit out of it. So,
I will say that I've never really messed with the text ChatGPT function. Early on, I did try to recreate some Mikey and Dale kissing photos, but never really came out the way I wanted to. But maybe
technology wasn't there yet. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's evolved now. Maybe I'll get one of those going. Yeah. But but anyways, so the DARF of the week this week is a very easy one to talk about, and technically it's a retirement ceremony because
we're gonna retire a number this week.
Back to our early discussion in the show about Raja Karuth and racism and all that good stuff. We've talked about her on the show before, but there was a female fan on Twitter with the handle of Ultimate23Dragon who has accused many different drivers of racist things, including Raja. She's had multiple calls to get him suspended and banned from NASCAR for, I think it was he replied to some tweet of hers with one of those, mocking white guy with sunglasses gifts like that, or photos like, you know, just that type of bullshit opinion that you see from those types of people. And that was racism to her. And that meant he should be banned from NASCAR. So Friday night, everybody was excited to see how she would react after Raja's win.
She'd already been kind of in the shit leading up to this race, too. Yeah. Of course, all the meltdown from Daytona and all that, and Atlanta has, you know, there was definitely she was already at war on Twitter.
Yes.
And she, actually, I saved the Dwarf of the Week was going to be this tweet from her saying, Denny Hamlin is racist against Asian people. This is the scorecard, by the way. Denny Hamlin is racist against Asian people. Kyle Larson is racist against both black people and white people. Okay. Bubba Wallace and Roger Carruth are both racist against white people. None of them have been banned. So if that's your main concern, the answer is you should not. And that was in response to somebody prior to that. But that was just so good. That was going to be the Dwarf of the Week, pretty much no matter what happened.
And but, then, according to her, everyone is racist except for Johnny Benson.
Yeah. Yes, which is hopefully not true, or hopefully, yeah, actually, hopefully true, I should say, excuse my words. I love Johnny. Johnny, please don't be racist, I love you. But anyways, we were all excited to see how she'd be reacting on Twitter and Instagram and all that, but wouldn't you know it, she deleted all of her accounts. Yeah. That's such a shame, yeah. You know, such a shame. So yes, goodbye, Ultimate 23 Dragon. I'm sure you'll pop back up with some other stupid screen name at some point.
Yeah.
After this is all blown over, but maybe not if Raja keeps winning. So we'll see.
We're gonna retire the number 23 here. We're gonna hang it from the rafters in Applebee's. Maybe she'll come back as Ultimate 45 Dragon because that's what Michael Jordan did. But yeah, the 23 is retired. It's over. Thank you for the laughs. We appreciate it. I hope you get the help that you need because it seems like you might need to see a therapist or, you know. I mean, Facebook went down for a couple hours today before we recorded, so maybe that was enough time to go out and touch the grass and, you know, breathe in some air and, you know. I don't know.
We also finally got to see what she looks like and what she sounds like, and that was a whole journey of it on its own. So.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't say I feel bad for her, but I'm definitely a little concerned. So yeah, take this time off from the internet to maybe get some help and just at the very least. And this has been my sentence for any time she's been Dwarf of the Week or any Dwarf of the Week for that matter. Just go outside for a second and enjoy the air on this planet before it's unbreathable, and think about what you've done. But yeah,
maybe research what racism is.
Perhaps, yeah.
Buy an encyclopedia.
So yeah, I'm hoisting that flag up to the rafters right now, and thank you for the laughs and the good times, and hopefully we'll see you again on the court out there again at some point.
And with that, Rob, what was going on in the septic tank this week?
Oh, there's a good amount of short track racing. Again, I didn't have a chance to watch a lot of it, so this is going to go pretty quickly. Bubba Pollard, of course, getting a big announcement from Dale Jr. Of course, Junior Motorsports was hinting at an announcement that everyone was going to be really excited about for the 88 car for a one-off this year. And everyone was talking about Carl Edwards and shit, and we had a little discussion. It was probably the longest discussion of the week between the three of us of who it might be. And I don't think any of us have Bubba Pollard on the bingo card, and sure enough, it was him. So we're going to see him drive the 88 out there this year at least once, so that's fucking awesome. Bubba, of course, a legendary late model racer on the pavement side of things out here in the East Coast and in the South. So, and I think a lot of people have been wanting to see this for a while. He's a legend, so I'm excited to see Bubba out there. And, that's how Josh Berry got his shot. I don't know if, a cup ride's gonna come out for Bubba Pollard anytime soon like it did for Josh Berry, or if he even wants to do that, but it's always cool to see somebody from this side of the fence get out into the NASCAR world and sort of shine a light on what's happening in short track America. So kudos to Bubba there. That's exciting.
And if you're like me and aren't incredibly familiar with him, he looks just like his name sounds.
Yeah, he is a Bubba and a half.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Also, over the weekend, Kyle Campbell got a big cars win at Southern National. Also, Carson Lofton winning the Smart Modified Tour race. He passed Matt Hirschman, which doesn't happen very often. And he managed to hold off Burt Myers and Ryan Newman. Those are, of course, names we all know. So congrats to him getting his first big win in a modified there. I would say the most notable thing that happened was actually on Monday night. Donnie Schatz picked up his 500th win in a 410 sprint car, which is fucking nuts. It was also his 312th win in outlaw competition at Volusia at the Bike Week Classic. Really short car count there. A lot of people freaking out on the internet that there's only 19 cars there for this race. And kind of, obviously there's been a big split in the sprint car world between High Limit and World of Outlaws. But let's be honest, last year they only drew 23 cars to that race. I think most people are just taking a break. I'm not saying we're not going to see slim car counts like that coming up in the future, especially when we get towards the middle of the season when there's competing weekends and all that. But really, the only difference between this year and last was that the Casey Kane cars weren't there. So that was pretty much it. Still a good show, and it was really awesome to see Donnie Schatz get a win and a big 500th win. And he gave a nice little speech at the end of that, saying that it's not really about all the wins. He doesn't even think about the numbers. He's just happy about all the friends and experiences he's had. And he's got a lot more of the tank, and, you know, I tend to believe him. So that was really cool to see. And I'm glad to see also Jacob Allen not get creamed with a tire blowing up and hitting the fence and kind of bouncing back down on the racetrack. Fortunately, there was only 17 cars in the A main, so that probably helped him not get completely clobbered. But if there's one benefit of short car counts, I suppose it's that. On a sad note here, Zach Brewer passed away unexpectedly, I believe on Monday. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's running Smart Modified Tour competition for several years part-time. He's on the win list at Bowman Gray. Just a good guy and a beloved guy in the modified scene down south. And again, he passed away at 44 unexpectedly over the weekend or on Monday. And I know a lot of people are really broken up about that. And I know that that's tough. So we're thinking about his family and everyone in the modified community. Rest in peace.
Yeah, bummer. Well, on to the video of the week segment. So we're going to be in Phoenix this weekend, so I wanted to pick a race from Phoenix. And real quick, too, I forgot to talk about this in the news segment, but I'm looking at Twitter here, and it's reminding me. So Denny Hamlin is going to run a red 11 car this weekend, sponsored by Brakes Plus. And it is just all plain red car with 11 on it, and then Brakes Plus on the side and the hood and all that. People are, like, really upset about this for some reason on Twitter, like just saying it's an ugly, boring design. It's like they never saw any of Junior Johnson's cars, or they didn't see, like, the 11 Budweiser car that ran from, like, 90 to 94, 89 or 94. Yeah. Like, it's the same paint scheme. It's just red, and it's not a throwback scheme officially, but to me, that's what it is. So if you don't recognize that, then learn your fucking history, dumbasses.
also, anyways, like, we're going to talk, like, the Sport Clips car looks like anything. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Anyways. So I wanted to pick something Phoenix involved, and, you know, we watch enough NASCAR-related stuff, and we're going to continue to watch NASCAR-related stuff. So, knowing the history of the Copper World Classic at Phoenix, which unfortunately isn't run anymore, I chose a nice little half-hour video from the 94 race in the modified division, or super modified division, rather. Now, picking this video, I didn't necessarily watch the whole thing. I kind of just skimmed through it real quick to see what it would consist of, and I saw there was a lot of interviews and stuff in the middle of it, and there was a red flag. If you guys hated the truck race in Daytona for as much of a shit show as it was, you probably fucking despise this video, because in a 30-minute video, there was 5 to 6 minutes tops of racing, and not just because there was all these other interviews and stuff going on, is because, like, the race itself was just such a goddamn mess that they couldn't keep it running.
They had Ralph Shaheen working overtime to get that piece put together.
So I'm not a huge super modified fan or historian or anything, although I have been to a few races now, and they're incredibly cool cars to look at. But from my understanding, is a lot of these races happen on shorter tracks. Like, I know they race here in Ohio at a couple, like, 3/8 and 1/2 mile tracks, and yeah, you know, Thompson. What's Thompson like?
Thompson's half, a little over half a mile.
A little over half. Yeah. So I mean, they do race on some bigger tracks, but I would say Phoenix being, what is it, 1.25 miles or whatever, probably one of the bigger tracks they race on. And these cars just do not work on this track at all. Starting off the video, so this was on TNN as part of the American Sports Cavalcade, which was kind of just a random motorsports show that ran way back in the day. And, you know, you'd see monster trucks and mud bogs and short track races and all sorts of random shit on this. Yep. So they were covering some of the action this weekend. And it's cut off at the beginning as far as the intro and stuff. But right off the bat, we're introduced to somebody named Rebel Jackson, which, that's another one of those just amazing racing names that you see from time to time. And then the announcer, and his name is escaping me at this point, but he's announcing these drivers from Washington, and he keeps pronouncing the state as Washington, which is very much like a Northeast, East Coast awful accent that my mom says, Warsh, like that. Yep. So that made me laugh. Every single one of these drivers has like the same haircut and mustache, maybe with a little bit of a mullet to it, but they all look the same. Now, again, if you're unfamiliar with the cars themselves, these are incredibly lightweight. The weight distribution is way over to the inside of the car. Yep. The motors themselves are all exposed and just on the left side of the car. Yep. Like, cool as shit looking cars, and they're very fast.
Yeah, not much of a rule book at this point either. Relatively open class back in those days.
They talk about that later in the show, where it's essentially just like run what you brung, and we'll talk about that once we meet a couple other drivers. But you know, the cars are all super bright and very 90s paint schemes and anodized parts and all this just very of its time stuff. There is one mid-engine car in the field, and we will talk about that in a second. But right off the bat, this race, there is a wreck in turn two on lap one, where we get Jimmy Sills, which is like a, I think he's a sprint car driver. Yep. Who races super mods once in a while. He like skids across the track on the side and says the car could still run if it didn't have like a hole in the intake, which is wild to me because he was sliding on the motor the whole time. I think it's a caution at this point, or maybe it's a very brief red flag. There's a guy named Art Biagioni who he gets loose at some point. He looks like a 65-year-old Korean War veteran.
That's what he looks like to me. Yeah.
And then
that's who that shirt at that gift shop is for, right, Drew?
Yeah. And then we meet the driver of the mid-engine car. This guy named Dennis Menasini. And his car was built in 1979. Now, granted, this is 1994 that the race is taking place in. So the car itself is 15 years old, and he talks about the car, how it was banned for a very long time because of the mid-engine configuration, and was still fast. And, you know, they didn't show it, but they talked about it. Well, he gained 4 spots on that first lap before the wreck. So
it's got all the side skirts and shit on it. It's kind of a Formula One car, like a early 80s Formula One car with the ground effects on it and that wide, like...
Yeah, it was very reminiscent.
Sick.
Yeah, it was a cool looking car for sure, but you know, it has issues. They try to restart the race, and again, another wreck in turn one. Once again, this one's way worse. A guy named John Heidenreich. Again, I think it's another short red flag. Then the race continues on, and Menasini is smoking, and it's on and off. They're not sure if it's a tire rub or whatever. They call a caution. He is blowing oil all over the track, and he doesn't notice because the engine is behind him and not in front of him, and he also doesn't notice the black flag he's getting. So they have to red flag the race again at this point because there's so much fucking oil on the track. And from there, we see a shot of one of the officials like just berating the fuck out of this guy in his car like a child, like a real child. Like, how did you not see the flag? Like, it's part of being a driver. You can't see the flags, you can't race. It's like just insane that they actually showed this on TV. Poor guy's getting browbeaten so bad.
Didn't have much else to show.
Yeah.
Shoot his ass out.
So after all this shit goes on, USAC decides to cut 10 laps off the race. Yep. So it goes from 25 laps to 15.
Just a classic bad short track race. Mm-hmm. This is like a beer line race. You spend the whole time in line getting more beers because it takes an hour to finish up. And yeah, the tower's pit. It's hilarious. But again, if you didn't, like Brian said, if you did not like some of the things you've seen in the truck series, then you're probably not. You probably turned this off by now.
Yeah. He gets out of the car, and Brock Yates, who's a longtime journalist in motorsports, he's doing the pit reporting, and he just states to Brock, "The fat lady is sung, Brock," stating his day is over. Davey Hamilton is the guy who leads pretty much the whole race, and he wins the race. Davey was a super modified racer. I I forget exactly where he's from, but his he was trying to get into Indy cars at this time. He'd attempted a handful of 500 starts, didn't make any. He ended up later starting, and he had a little bit of success in IRL. Yeah. Didn't win any races, but finished second in the points once or twice.
Yeah, he was handy. He was good.
Yeah. He ended up getting almost partially paralyzed, temporarily paralyzed in an Indy 500 wreck, and later on returning and starting again in 2011. So he's the only driver that probably anybody has heard of in this race.
Yeah, his dad was in the race too, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm way more familiar with the Midwest and East Coast super modified world, and this was definitely very West Coast heavy. Obviously, the location probably had something to do with that. So, the Hamiltons were the only ones I was really super familiar with out there. And the cars even look a little bit different because the super modifieds out here, the wing's more positioned in the center. Mm-hmm. These looked a little bit more like Oswego modifieds with the wing's kind of on the back, like positioned towards the rear of the car. Very strange, but...
Yeah.
And they talk about that at the beginning of the video as well, how there's different rule sets and different ideas of what a super modified is around the country, and they were working to kind of... get that together so all of them could race together at these events, which to the best of my knowledge has never happened, so still working on it.
The only other thing to talk about from this red flag is once again we run into Rebel Jackson, and he gets interviewed, and he is just so tired of this shit. He is ready for this race to be over. He just wants to get back in the car and get it over with. They get back on the field. Brock states, as the race starts back up again, everybody was tightened up, and hopefully they'll won't be as loose. Because that's one thing that the drivers say at the beginning of the race is if these cars get loose, they are undrivable, and that's why everybody's wrecking, because they're just so fast, so lightweight. I mean, they said they were getting up to 180 miles an hour on the straightaways and those things, and I guess they're the second fastest car or second fastest class of car to ever run at Phoenix, behind the Indy cars.
Yes,
So Brock's jinxed the field, and once again, there's another wreck, a guy named Randy Bauer, and because these cars run on alcohol, it looks like there's potentially a fire. For those who don't know, alcohol burns so hot that you can't see the flames.
Yep.
So that's kind of the fear as you see him kind of scramble to get out of the car, but apparently he was okay, had some smoke inhalation, but no burns or anything like that. But it's kind of a scary thing to watch because like he gets unbuckled, and then he can't get out. And then all of a sudden they come over and just spray them all with hoses and fire extinguishers and whatnot.
Not something you really see all that often, especially like in the IndyCar world anymore. And, you don't see it on television all that much. But back in the day, that was a pretty regular, no less, it was always terrifying when it happened. But, yeah, you don't see that as much anymore. Yeah, those flames, they burn completely. You cannot see them, and it is fucking scary.
Yep. But then after that, they finally get the last five or six laps done, and Davey Hamilton had like a couple second lead, so that wrapped it up. Definitely a weird shit show. Was not expecting it to be this crazy, but at least it made it an entertaining watch and not just a 25 lap breeze like some of these races go. So
super modified of the week. Yeah, they don't always put on the best show. They tend to, especially at the bigger tracks, like you said, they kind of get single file. Once they get going anyway, everyone kind of, gets in a straight line and they kind of freight train it. But they're, if you ever have a chance to go see them in person, I can't recommend it enough. They are fucking insane to watch, and it's some of the fastest cars you're ever going to see in your life.
Yeah.
So do it.
Any thoughts from you on this one, True Love?
No, not really. I think they got rid of them. I mean, visually they were cool to see because they're such an interesting looking car, and like all the graphics and colors on them were great. And I do enjoy experiencing the characters as they interview them.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. So for that, it was a worthy watch.
Yeah, and no disrespect to any West Coast people who might be listening to this who knows more about this. Again, like I don't think any of us have any real knowledge about West Coast super modifieds. Again, my knowledge is all out here, and that's minimal at best. Usually I'm just excited they're on the card at Thompson or something like that. But yeah, no disrespect. And Davey Hamilton was good. That's all we can take away from this.
Now, for next week's video of the week, so Ashley will not be on the show. Ashley has to get some dental surgery next week. So we're going to be having a return guest, our friend Jay Pennell from, what's the website he
RacingAmerica.com.
Racing America. So he's going to be coming on the show. And because NASCAR is in Bristol next week, I chose the 2010 Legends race that was held there. This had a bunch of different drivers from all different eras.
Yeah, not Legends, by the way. Not Legend cars that you might have seen before. These are late models with old guys driving
old
them.
People.
Yes. Literal old people.
And not to dive too deep into what happens in the race, but they only did this twice, and you're going to find out why they only did this twice. Yeah. But in saying that... I just happened to pick this video without even consulting anybody first, but I sent it to Jay, and he was excited because Jay was there that day, and he was in the press box. So he says he's got a story for this race, so I'm excited to hear it. That's already on the Video of the Week playlist. So it's an hour-long race, but it also does have all the commercials, too. So not that they're that old, the commercials, but they're in there.
Yeah. When you sent this over, I've seen this. I've watched this race a bunch of times. It's cool as shit. And again, I understand why they don't do this anymore. And maybe the fact that retired drivers are getting younger and younger, maybe we could see something like this again. I guess that's sort of what SRX kind of was. But, you know, this is one of those IROC, you know, sort of like Masters League kind of deals that always tend to run once or twice. And there's a very obvious reason why it gets put to a stop.
So yeah, that'll be Video of the Week next week. And like I said, NASCAR's in Phoenix. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say about this coming weekend. I mean,
elephant in the room is that this is the first time we're going to see whatever the augmented aero package underneath the car is that they've tried to improve things with. The reactions we heard from drivers were a little frosty. And I don't think anyone really expects it to make a huge difference in the way these cars race. And that's a bummer because the Phoenix race in particular, being the championship race, has been a little dog shit past few years. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Goodyear also today said that the tire they're bringing has much more tread to it, which apparently will help tire fall off as far as, like, you know, making the tires wear out faster. So we'll see if that plays into it at all. But either way, apparently ARCA's got a big car count. I just saw they have 43 cars signed up for the race.
Jesus Christ. Where'd they find them all?
I mean,
still digging out of the infield at Daytona.
My guess is like it's almost like maybe a Winston West type deal, because that's kind of what happened to Winston West. It got absorbed into the ARCA East and ARCA West. So I guess that's probably why there's a bigger car count.
I think this is a combined race of all the series, which is cool. But yeah, that's crazy, man. Usually it's not that much.
So, but yeah, that's what will be happening. Is there any short track stuff coming up this weekend or anything like that? None of us are going anywhere, so.
Cars Tours Racing. I forget where. So is a Smart Tour. Let me just pull the schedule up here. World of Outlaws are going to be running at Kenema, so that'll be fun. And then they're going to Cotton Bowl next week, too. I think we might be recording when that's happening, so I'll have something on the screen while we're talking. But
the local dirt tracks are starting to announce their opening dates and whatnot, and I think Attica's first one is April 6th, which I may go to, although I kind of have some stuff going on that weekend, so I don't know. I got to see when Sharon and Fremont are opening up, too, because I want to... We still got a few weeks. We've had a weird week of weather here in Ohio. It's been 70 the last 2 days, but it's supposed to be like 40s and rainy. So we're not quite in spring yet here.
No. Oh, Port Royal is opening too. That's always cool. I'm one of the legendary 410 racetracks out here in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Smart Modifieds are at Caraway. That'll be a fun show too. It's a great lineup of cars in that series this year. And if you like Ryan Newman, he's going to be racing the full fucking thing this year. So. And as I say every week, if you want to watch it and you don't want to commit to a subscription, just send us a message. I've gifted people with the special link, many people, and they have all been very pleased with the results. So I encourage you to do the same. And if you're feeling generous, you know, slip this guy $5 or something, because he does have a little donate button. But yeah, if you want the link, ask us and we'll happily send it to you. I've had some really cool conversations about short track racing with people based on this, and even a couple folks saying that this has kind of gotten them back into... getting back into the racing in their local area, which is kind of the point. So
yeah. So cool. So yeah, I guess that's going to wrap up the show this week. As always, you can follow us at Meet Me at Applebee's on Instagram and Meet Me at the Bees on Twitter. I am Speedway Screens on all the things, and my shop is speedwaytsj.etsy.com. True love.
Still Snake Mountain True Love _ in there somewhere. I'm sure I'll share some Vegas stuff.
Somewhere in there.
Sometime this week, because I definitely was too busy to share much over the weekend.
You took some blurry photos?
Yeah, probably so. I haven't looked back at them.
Nice.
Bonda won't be here next week, but I really appreciate Jay stepping in to be a guest host.
Yeah, so. He's, again, risking his career to come on this show for some fucking reason.
Yes,
so. More balls than I have, that's for sure. RobMotes _unofficial on Instagram. My band's called These Wild Plains. That tour with Charlie Marie is coming right up, starting on March 16th in Philly at Baby's First Rodeo at Ortlieb's. That's going to be really, really fun. And then we'll be playing at the Galactic Theater on the 17th in Warren, Rhode Island. I'll talk about the rest of the dates later, but those are the two big ones. Again, thanks to everyone who came out to the Stomping Ground last week. It was fun to talk about music and racing with people. I don't think anyone came from the show, from this show, that is, to talk about it, but I was getting to some fun conversations there. And, thanks for coming out. We always appreciate the support. But I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out on the road next weekend.
Yeah. Well,
Real quick, speaking of music, I know I got a lot of friends out here, and true love, you do too. I just want to... You know, I know a lot of people are really torn up about Britt Turner from Blackberry Smoke passing. You know, hate to see that. One of the nicest guys in the industry. I never got to meet him, but I got a lot of friends that are really close. And I know you do too, true love. So we're just thinking about everybody right now and his family. And just give their new record a spin today if you can, and have a drink, and appreciate all the good folks out there that are still playing rock and roll that aren't douchebags.
There you go.
I appreciate it.
And with that, it looks like our check is here. So thank you again for joining us at Applebee's, and we will talk to you next week.
Yay!